720 WGN, it is Dane Neal along with Hannah Stanley. We are in for the Steve Cochran Show on New Year's Eve. Bright future coming up, 2015.
It's Noon Year's Eve.
You keep saying that because that's when you'll be awake, right? Because you'll be asleep during the...
I will be asleep. I hope I will be asleep because we're here tomorrow, 5 to 10 a.m. again.
I think I'm going to try to make it to after New Year's Eve. So it'll be...
I'm going to make it till after because I'm going to go over to the Cochran New Year's Eve.
But you'll be asleep.
Matinee.
They're going to just wheel you in.
I'm going to sleep.
Firemen carry you in.
I'm going to sleep from like noon to 2:30. I'm going to drive up to Crystal Lake with the whole family. It's family friendly. And then after that's done, I'm going to come home, sleep some more, drive on in. That's how I roll.
You know, some people count sheep when they sleep. Some people count millions of dollars, maybe 48 or 49 million. I think that Michigan fans are probably up celebrating already because this is the biggest gift that they can have for 2015 is having Jim Harbaugh as their coach. So, I mean, Andy, how do you see this? You're a guy that covers sports. You cover sports.
Weren't we supposed to have music, a music bed for Speculate with Andy?
No, a theme song. Oh. We have a live choir that's going to come in.
Oh, that's good.
But he's got to voice some of it because he does this whole, it's kind of a, you know, like a breakdancing thing that he does. It's visual. We've got new cameras.
WGNradio.com and watch live.
So people were watching Jim Harbaugh on the press conference. He came in. He seems as excited as anybody, almost giddy about the whole thing. Like, how do you see this turning out? Is this going to end well?
Well, he's giddy because his wallet is really getting fatter. And also the fact that he doesn't have to deal with these high-priced, crazy professional athletes anymore. I mean, that's, you know, and again, I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, too, with the fact that some guys are better suited for that type of coaching in a college game than they are in a professional game because the pros tend to tune you out a little bit if you're in their face all the time because a lot of times they're making more money than you. Sometimes it can be the same thing in a college, but
they're also angling for their career and their brand.
Yeah. Well, and you know, he's so identified with Michigan. I told you guys yesterday about the billboards that were going up even before, you know, the press conference. There was a local bank up there in Ann Arbor that said number 4 restore us to number 1, and then it was crazy. And you know, he got this reception at halftime of the Michigan Illinois game, and it actually Wolverines basketball team kind of responded and beat Illinois in overtime yesterday after the speech.
It is the perfect time. We've talked a little bit about the correlations and some of the things that the Cubs did as far as, you know, getting rid of Rick Renteria and going for the guy, just recognizing that there may be one individual out there, whether it's temperament or whether it's career-wise, that may be perfectly suited for your program. And Michigan, for the last X amount of years, I don't know, the last 10 years or so, they've been kind of floundering, looking for the right person to lead them into that, into kind of that next level of success, always saying that they want to get, and you know, Bo Schembechler would say, you got to get a Michigan guy.
I want a Michigan man coaching Michigan,
which is tough because it's hard to find somebody that happens to have gone to that school that happens to be the perfect candidate. But Jim Harbaugh may be so perfectly suited for it because, of course, you know, had a great career there, but then also had what I would consider a really, really nice NFL career. Yeah. He's been a successful college coach. There's no way that you can say he wasn't successful at the NFL level. He took the 49ers from a team that, you know, wasn't doing well into two NFC championship games. But I think personality-wise, he is a college coach.
Yeah. Well, and now the heat is on, though. I mean, because you come back to a place that you're revered in, and it's all pressure and all eyes are on you now. So to turn the program back around after, you know, you mentioned the last 10 years, you know, Rich Rodriguez came in with a lot of fanfare and was under the fire because he wasn't a Michigan guy, so fans didn't really give him a ton of a break. But what the fans should have realized is that Brady Hoke, who had Michigan ties, came in and won with a lot of Rich Rodriguez players and didn't win with a lot of his own. So it's a new element here, too, for Harbaugh with recruiting. I'm sure that he has a recruiting coordinator, so he's not going to be the guy going on the planes and doing the first couple of, you know, recruiting things. He comes in out of the bullpen. He's the Mariano Rivera.
Right.
He's the closer.
He seals the deal.
Yeah.
But he is perfectly suited for that as well because you've had coaches that may be good, have a good resume on paper. But, you know, Jim Harbaugh walks into the living room of any student. They're going to instantly know who he is.
Yeah.
And then I don't think he's going to have to deal with the high-priced person as far as whether the college student. Mm-hmm. You have some college athletes that get to be big stars, but he's going to be a bigger celebrity than anybody that goes there.
Yeah, and he is, you know, obviously larger than life in Ann Arbor and played for both Schembechler, so that gives him a ton more credibility if he didn't have it already. And, you know, there's going to be 110,000 people pretty much every Saturday that they're home. They're going to be all eyes on him.
And last thing on this, of course, the money takes away some of the pressure, but you just hope it goes well because we remember Charlie Weiss, you know, great career with the Patriots, goes back to Notre Dame, big fanfare, big failure. Mm-hmm. So Notre Dame probably doesn't see him the same way they did before he was there.
No, you're right.
Not so much. Not so much. Joining us on the phone as promised is Karen Conti. We want to talk legal stories for 2014 in review. Good morning, Karen. Wait, there you are. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm so good. And Dane is here with me,
Karen,
as well.
Hi.
We're gonna delve into this, and then we're gonna come back after traffic and the break. We had huge stories this year.
We really did, and a lot of the big news stories of the year happened to be legal in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're really worth talking about because it kind of gives you a whole overview of the whole year by talking about these legal stories.
Absolutely. The one that I think we're going to spend a ton of time on, actually a couple of them, have to do with professional sports. Of course, Ray Rice and domestic violence, which got much deeper when other stories were getting reported. That has caused some ripples within professional sports in general that are going to be felt for years.
Right. No, I totally agree. And the issues that they raise are bigger than sports. You know, there are issues of racism, domestic violence, privacy, and all kinds of legal issues. So, they're bigger than the actual event itself.
All right. We are going to take a quick look at our traffic trouble spots. Karen, hold on with us, please.
WGN, Dane Neal, Hannah Stanley in for Steve Cochran today on New Year's Eve. And one of the things we have to be thankful for through the years is being able to hear Legal Eagle attorney Karen Conti on the Steve Cochran Show. So many great issues that she talks about. She tackles individual issues like, hey, I'm going through a divorce and my spouse is trying to take all my stuff, to big sweeping national issues that everybody is dealing with. On the sports side, Hannah had mentioned some of the things with, you know, Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson. One of the questions that I had and that people ask me is, you see these penalties by the league, and so people are getting suspended and millions of dollars are at stake. But in the past, they used to kind of let the legal system take its course, and the league would step in when, you know, a judge had said, well, here's the penalty and here's what really happened. But now these leagues are stepping in. Do the players, right or wrong, is whether you do agree on any of the things. I think we can all agree that, you know, all of the things were really disgusting and reprehensible. But do the players have any recourse to the penalties that are handed down by the league legally?
Well, I mean, you know, it's everything that's spelled out by their contracts. So, again, you know, I think what we're going to be seeing in the future are contracts that spell out things very clearly. If you have moral issues, if you have legal trouble, if you have accusations, if you have convictions, that these things can be used against you. As it stands right now, in the past, those parts of the contract were not really clear. So, you know, they could be interpreted one way or the other. But certainly, you know, as far as in the case of Ray Rice, he did appeal his suspension and he won. So, I mean, there are avenues within the league to do that. But again, you know, this is the real issue is things go on legally on the outside. He gets accused, he gets charged, he makes good, he does his probation. Can the league still punish him for his conduct? And the answer is yes. And that's all about protecting the league, protecting the image, protecting its reputation. And the same goes with the Don Sterling fiasco.
Right.
Same exact thing happened with him. You know, the league has a real obligation to itself and to its teams to preserve their reputation. And when you've got an owner saying the things he did, again, people say things all the time. We didn't know. He didn't know he was being recorded, apparently. But, you know, it still reflects poorly on the league. And what happened to him was a very severe penalty.
Now, because he didn't know he was being recorded, is there any sort of recourse that he has for eavesdropping, et cetera?
You know, he probably does, because in California, it's the law is similar to our law here, which is unless you have consent to a conversation on the telephone to be recorded, it's illegal to do that. But sort of the toothpaste is out of the tube on this one, because all the bad things happen to him, and does he have recourse to go to the police and say, my girlfriend recorded me without my consent? he could, but do you think the police are going to do anything? I would guess no.
It depends. Now, tell me, please, I heard that Governor Quinn just signed in this addendum or amendment or change to our eavesdropping law. What does that mean for us?
You know, I don't know about that. I don't know what the new law is. We have a really strong law on eavesdropping, and I have to read it. I don't know it as I sit here.
One of the situations that they said it would apply to is kind of the recording of confrontations or interactions with police officers, and that you have to have all the people know that they are being recorded.
That's how it's been. And I think now, as long as it happens in public.
Oh, if it's in public, absolutely.
Then
yeah.
you have the ability, because what they've been able to do is go after people who were recording police or anyone doing wrong. Then those people who recorded it were in trouble. And now with the fact that we all have cell phone cameras and stuff, it makes it crazy.
Well, Karen, I've got
that makes Illinois law consistent with what the Supreme Court has said, which is you have a right to videotape a police officer. You're in public. I mean, the police officers don't enjoy any rights additional to what we have. I mean, we're allowed to do that. That went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and people were prosecuted for taking a picture of what the police were doing, and the Supreme Court said, no, that, you know, you're certainly entitled to do that.
Well, Karen, what defines in public? Let's say you're on a road, you're by yourself, you're in the middle of nowhere, you're pulled over by a police officer, you're having what really is a private conversation, you know, just maybe a foot or so away from each other, so it isn't necessarily within a group. Is that still public, or do you have to be inside a building or inside your own, you know, home in order for it to be private? What are the rules there?
I'm not sure what the rules are. I mean, we have to read the statute very carefully, and sometimes the statute leaves that open to interpretation. But I would say that the law as it stands now is that if you have an expectation of privacy, meaning you're in your own home, you're in your own place, you're in a place where you believe that you have the right to be without cameras or whatever, that would be the private. So anytime you're outside, anytime you're in a place where you don't really have an expectation of privacy, that I would say that you're free, that people are free to tape you if they want, if that's what the law is going to say.
All right. Locally, we've had some huge legal stories come up as well.
We have. We want to start with the shootings. Probably were one of the big ones. I don't know if we all remember back when it was warm. I think it was a July weekend. We had almost like 80 something shootings and a bunch of actual deaths resulting. It made national news, you know, because it was just so high. And I think that's a real important news story, because we have to look at what's going on. I mean, is it the laws that are wrong? Do we need better laws? Do we need to enforce the laws we have? What do we need to do to stop this horrendous amount of gunfire? So I think that's a really important story, and I think we're going to see fallout from that next year. And I think, you know, obviously the police are trying to get up to speed and do their thing, and the law, you know, the laws may change as a result of that. I don't know how, but watch for it.
You know, and that's a double-sided issue too, because while we had those horrible amount of shootings in one weekend, and it's not like they've diminished much over the rest of the year, we still are going to come in at one of the lowest rates for homicides in the city of Chicago.
Right. And that is interesting. We do have to look at those stats, and we have to figure that we're an urban center. We have a lot of people. And all in all, you're right. Our homicide rate is down. But it's still horrendous. And even when you see the weekend count, this many shootings during the weekend, it's still our lives being taken, and it's disturbing.
It's strange at what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. I think the stuff that makes the front page is when kids, you know, stray bullets, you know, they're being killed. People, you talk about privacy of your own home. You know, there's been stories of kids being hit through walls, through windows, and you think, okay, what can lawmakers do? I think what you need to do is find a way to enforce the laws. It seems as though a lot of those things are already illegal. If the gun is being used illegally, and certainly shooting someone, that's not legal. It's just, you know, no one's enforcing the laws, or the people aren't adhering to the laws on the citizen side.
I have to say, I have taken that position, and I actually was on Bill O'Reilly that after that weekend, and in a strange way, I agreed with him that we don't need new laws. We have some of the strongest laws. I mean, we were like the last state to get concealed carry. You know, we have very strong laws, and I think you're absolutely right that what we're not doing is enforcing them. If you have a kid who's out, you know, shooting at police officers with a stolen gun, he needs to go to jail for a long time. You know, sorry for him, but he needs to go, because if he did it once, he's going to do it again. And stolen guns, having possession of guns when you're not entitled to it, those things should be enforced, because if you put the people in jail who have the guns and are using them, you're going to have less shootings. So I totally agree with you on that. We don't need new laws.
All right, Karen, we're going to ask you if you'd stay with us through the break and our news, because we want to talk to you about ways to talk about getting your legal affairs in order, because it's the end of the year. We want to talk looking forward to 2015. Hannah Stanley, and I'm sorry, say that we can talk until news. Oh, never mind. Yeah. We get to talk to you for a couple of more minutes. This is fantastic. All right, so gay rights was a huge story nationally, especially for same-sex marriage, and that became legal in the state of Illinois, I think, June 1st. They made an exception for a couple, one of whom was gravely ill and has since passed away. But what ramifications has that had for the state?
Well, you know, I think in my view, it's good. I think, you know, I think that's where we're heading. I think all the states are heading that way. The Supreme Court actually refused to hear a case, is the result of which was that gay rights continued in the two states where they refused to hear the case. But the Supreme Court has not weighed in and affirmatively stated that gay rights are rights that people have. I think what they're going to do is leave it to the states to decide. But I think Illinois allowing gay rights, gay marriage, is a fabulous thing. I think that's the way everything's going to go. And I think we're going to look back 50 years from now, if we're still alive, and we're going to say, what were we thinking about? Let everyone get married. What's the problem? I think that it's the way of the world, and some people still aren't going to like it, but it's the right thing to do. It's really just gender equality. I mean, if I want to marry a man, I should be able to marry a man, right? If I should want to marry a woman, I should be able to marry a woman. It's a gender issue, not necessarily sexual preference to me. But I think it's a good thing.
Well, I think most people can kind of agree that people should be able to be with people that they feel connected to, that they love. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. On the legal side, what are those, you know, once you get beyond that and the relationship side of it, like, what are some of the legal issues? Is it just insurance? Is it, let's say something happens with one of them, is it the inheritance of the property? I mean, are those the things that people have to deal with?
Yeah, it's all of those, and it's, you know, even more Social Security benefits, Family Medical Leave Act. If I'm working at a place and I get FMLA, does my partner get that? If I'm married, does my partner get that? If we're just in a civil union, the federal rights really don't apply unless you're married. So that's the key. So there's all kinds of inheritance taxes and all kinds of things that we just take for granted when we're married, but are certainly benefits of being married. And, you know, being married is a benefit to the society in a way, because it says that you're stable. It says that you're in a committed relationship. Now, we all know that doesn't always work out. The stats on that are pretty poor. But it's good to make people stable. It's good to have homes that are with people who have committed to each other and have legal obligations to each other. I think that's a good thing.
All right, Karen, now we are going to ask you to hold on through the news for us, please.
Sure.
Karen Conti will be back with us on the other side of the news.
720 WGN, Dane Neal, Hannah Stanley in for Steve Cochran today on New Year's Eve. And on the line with us, we do have attorney Karen Conti. Before she gets into the end of year planning,
we want to say first that Karen is sponsored by Chicago Title Land Trust Company. And we are excited to welcome you back, Karen. Thanks for sticking with us.
One of the things, and we've talked about the privacy of your own home and whatever kind of assurances or comforts that you may have there. And but now we found out that this year, you know, under the Christmas tree and with your kids as they play the Xbox in the room with you during that private and wonderful moment is the Lizard Squad, that they're there with you too. And so on the internet side, as you and other attorneys try to like make sense of what's going on in the world globally, and we want to find out what kind of recourse people have when they're either hacked or their finances are hacked or their accounts are hacked. It seems like you're just kind of screwed. Karen?
There she is. Hi.
You really are. And it's unfortunate because I get so many calls a week by people saying they've had their identity stolen, they've been hacked. And there's really no good avenue. There's no good avenue to clean up credit reports. And there are companies that do it, and I'm not sure I can recommend any of them because some of them are good, some of them aren't. And you know, these are issues that I think the law is going, it has been slow to catch up. You know, our laws have not caught up with the idea we have all this technology now. And the prosecution of these kind of crimes is difficult because we don't know who they are, and it's hard to trace them. And, you know, the FBI is on some of these people, but it's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, if the Korean government can hack into Sony, and I don't know if that's the case, but if they can, then you can imagine what they can do to the average citizen. So these are very difficult things, but I think taking precaution is probably the best thing. We don't think it's going to happen to us, but it can and it will. So we have to take the precautions that are available to us.
All right, Karen, can you go through some of our New Year's resolution stuff that we need to make sure we focus on for 2015 to get everything in order?
Absolutely. I'm going to do this quickly because I know you're on time limit. And if you want to email me, I can send you an email with these bullet points. The first thing I always say is get your papers in place. You know, folders, making folders is a really good thing for tax purposes so that everything in the year can go into income. It can go into expenses. It can go into write-offs, charitable deductions. So you have those folders all ready to go. There's no need to put them in a pile. Get your papers in one place. Put all your insurance in one place, your car insurance, your health insurance, your renter's insurance. Put all your stuff together, your will, your trust. Hopefully you have a will, which I'm going to get to. So get your papers together so if something were to happen to you or you have an emergency or a claim on your insurance, you've got all that information right there. Also, if something were to happen to you permanently, like you became ill, disabled, or died, God forbid, you'd have it all there. You'd have all the bank account numbers. You'd have all the phone numbers. You'd have your will. So that's number one. Number two is update your will. Or if you don't have one, get one. There's no reason in this day and age that you can't get a will or a trust that takes care of your estate when you die. And everyone says, I don't have enough. I don't have anything to leave to anybody. That doesn't mean that people aren't going to fight over what happens when you die. Even your emails, what happens to your emails? You need to specify. Does someone go through your emails? Do they get deleted automatically? What happens to your iTunes? What happens to your Kindle books? These are things that a good lawyer can whip through and get done for you so it's a done deal and you don't have to worry about it. So those are my top two. Want me to tell you some more?
You know what? I do, but we are running short on time. Can you give out your email address so people can touch base with you and get a hold of you if they want you to do those things for them?
Absolutely, and I'm going to set forth, you know, in the email if you want me to send anyone who wants it some other good ideas about what to do to protect yourself in the new year. My email address is kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com, and my phone number is 312-332-7800.
Karen Conti, thank you so much for joining us. Hope to talk to you again soon. In the meantime, we are going to...
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.